know that there is precedent, but hopefully, you know, you will reconsider the sanction and basically vacate the ruling here so that there's some clarity across the state. I'm happy to try to answer any questions, or any of these folks are happy as well.
I'm going to direct this to Ms. Benjamin. Do you feel you've had the opportunity to present all necessary information for your appeal?
I do.
Okay. My understanding then is that this appeal is to relieve the sanction imposed by the league staff against Greenwood High School as it relates to an illegal practice. At this time, I will open the floor for questions. Mr. Cooper.
Coach.
Yes, sir.
So that I'm clear, all right. Now, I know the new girls, a lot of those have built-in pads. They're, you know, some of them, they're just sewn in.
Right.
Where they have the thigh pads, the girdles. And
some I don't even know if you can bind without them now.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, it's, and... You know, our young guys didn't have them, our older guys did. I don't issue those until the day that it comes, just so that somebody doesn't show up and I say, hey, you got to take that off. You know, even for 707s, you know, our guys get really mad at me because I won't let them wear those, because it does say that in our rule book that they can't wear them during 707s, because basically they wear them as underwear. That's literally, they just wear them as underwear. They'll walk around with nothing on but the girdle, like a, you know, like those runner shorts, the compression pants. So honestly, when that came about, I didn't even think about a girdle as being something. I literally thought it was something with the COVID deal. Is that good?
Yep.
Okay.
I have a question for the athletic director.
Yes, sir.
Did you have a meeting with your coaches, and how did you give the information about the rule changes to them so that they would be in compliance?
That's what I'm saying. We sure that we met with all of our coaches in fall and made sure each time an update came out with the return to play practices, and we met with them through within timelines, and Coach and I also sat down and make sure that we knew when we could scrimmage and those things, and so we did that through a meeting together as the league's athletic director, telling them, giving them, and also emailing them all the information, and then Coach and I sat down together as far as looking at the calendar to make sure we knew where we were going for proper dates.
Mr. Stone?
After that meeting, were there any questions or anybody seeking any clarity in regards to pad progression or any other sport, or was there any contact the league made to seek any clarity if anybody had any questions? Everybody understood the guidelines set forth?
Yes, sir.
Coach, or they either one, just a few questions. Is it either of your understanding that this year was different as far as acclimation and kind of how you approach the full year and the progression that was out there, that this was different than in the past, or is it the same as other years?
It was just much faster pace. You went from 1.5 to 2.0 to 3.0 in a span of just, you know, 4 or 5 days, so it went pretty quick. We've always done, you know, helmets only, shoulder pads, shorts, but my point wasn't about just this year and the comment that I made earlier. If you come to our 707 this summer, there'll be 8 to 10 teams in there. There'll be 7 of those 8 wearing girdles. So I don't think they've ever viewed that as not part of just protecting the players, especially once the shoulder pads come on with the thigh bruises. In no way did it change our practice. There was no live contact. There was no tackling to the ground, which would make you wonder, then why did you even bother having them on? That wasn't the point. The point was, it's not in there. It doesn't say you can't have them on. And they literally wear those. He referenced it as an old school jock strap. I call it underwear. Literally, they wear them in basketball games. They wear them in baseball. It's almost just become part of their shorts. And they literally will wear them as shorts sometimes, which I worry about with girls walking around, that they're just out there in the compression shorts. You know, I don't really like that. Because that bothers me when you got track or cross country going around. So I make them put the, we basically took our old practice pants and cut them off and got them hemmed. Because if you give them the seven shorts, they steal them. They take them home and they don't come back. So nobody wears those cut off practice pants to the mall. But everybody, if you put a Greenwood on it, the Eagles, they're going to wear that somewhere because they want everybody to know they play football for us, which makes me ecstatic. I mean, I love that, but you don't get them back. So that's why we took our old practice pants and just cut them and had them hemmed. So, it, you know, anyway.
So would you say, is it generally practiced in on other years? You were not more confused this year. You've been wearing girdles. That's a regular thing for you. When you go shorter pads helmets, your kids wear girdles no matter what school you're coaching at.
Yeah, and I've made that comment, and I've been saying, you know, I don't know if you bring that up when you get down there, because I'm going to deny that if I get asked. So, but yeah, that's just what everybody I know, that's just what they do, with the exception of just a couple. And they've been doing it for a long time.
And he's only going to deny that because of this.
And to the athletic director, is that your same confusion level, not just this year, but other years, you were saying that wearing girdle, you've never thought of that as a thing?
With the one I was actually out there Tuesday at practice, and it never hit me. We got on something to shit down.
And did you guys wear girdles on August 17th?
No, sir.
Whenever they started letting helmets come on?
No, sir, because that's just helmets only. Now, for a safety issue, a lot of the coaches I've talked to in the state, when the shoulder pads come on, they feel like the girdle is necessary, not because they're hitting or tackling to the ground, but, you know, one of the major things in the last few years has been concussion. So most of the schools in the state have started teaching their players to use the Pete Carroll halt tackle. Well, if you teaching a kid how to halt tackle, you're teaching him to put his helmet on his thigh and grab and roll. So if you're teaching tackling progression, even if it's just the old fit, you know, something that's not involved in tackling to the ground or any live contact, stuff like that, then if you're really protecting the kid, when you got the shoulder pads on, that thigh pad needs to be on. Or you're now teaching them the old school way of tackling, which everybody's trying to get away from to protect the, you know, the concussion deal. So, you know, that's what a lot of the coaches I talked to was, okay, well, guys, tell me why you have yours on. We have ours on just because they don't have anything else to put on under their shorts. We don't issue them, you know, the old jock straps and those type of stuff. And I don't even know if people make those anymore. They may, but their answer was because of the way we're trying to teach kids to tackle now, to keep the head out of the game.
Would you have thought, even though you chose not to, that it would have been a rule violation had you worn the girdles on August 17th?
No, sir.
That would not have been a rule.
Well, because it just says helmets only. But, I don't know, same thing. We've never worn girdles on helmets only. You know, we never even thought about it. At that point, we haven't even issued them. Just to make it to where that because of the 7-on-7 deal. I view that as kind of like the same as the summer. So if you can't wear them on in the summer, then that's kind of the same deal because you're just wearing helmets and your t-shirts and your shorts. So we have not done that during that period.
And this may be a question for somebody else. I just noticed that in what you guys submitted, there was a major point that helmets only, and then the document that you provided where most of the guidance would have been presented from the high school league. It doesn't say helmets only. It just says you can wear a helmet on August 17th. And then it says you can wear helmets and shoulder pads. But I think part of the things that you're trying to deal with is that it should have been a negative list of what you cannot do rather than a positive list of here's the progression of what you can do.
Well, even in your opening guidelines, they say September 8th, helmets and shoulder pads, and then your pad progression. And so I'll just tell you, I read it and like, well, that's not clear, because then it goes basically from helmets and shoulder pads to full gear. And they never went to full gear at all. And everybody knows, I mean, that in my opinion, or most people involved in football, and I think I cite the NCAA rules, everybody knows the full Everybody knows full pads, full gear, even pants. They didn't have pants, they didn't have knee pads. I mean, I know it, even in, and the pros may be different, but you got to wear all the pads. They did not wear all the pads, so they were not in full gear ever, which is the, you know, between helmets and shoulder pads and full gear, this is what we're talking about, and it's just not defined. And so I think as a technical point, it's just not in the rules that it's not prohibited. It's just not prohibited.
Coach, quick question, just clarify. Attorney State, you're talking about the majority of the pads were not worn because they didn't have pants on. If you could explain to the committee what, how many pads are actually in pants and how many pads are in those girdles?
Yeah, the girdle has a butt pad, and now they make them so small, it looks just like a knee pad that's stuck right there on the hip. Now, the older ones are bigger. So there's three, there would be a butt pad, and some of them do only have the hip pads on it now. Some of them do, but they're also very small. I don't really know how they're protecting anything, to be honest with you, with some of the small pads that are on there. And then when you're in full gear, you know, that's with the full pants and then the knee pads at the bottom.
So just to be clear, you have five pads on when you have a girdle on, and then two pads.
That would be correct. That would be correct.
When pants are put on. Two pads are in the pants.
That would be correct.
Again, I don't want to be too hard question, but I believe, and the coach can correct me if I'm wrong, full gear means all the pads, and that is what the requirement is in the rules that you guys have submitted for the coaches to deal with. So.
I have a commissioner question here. First question I have two of them, actually. First one is, have any schools received sanctions and violations for this issue? Or is Greenwood the only one?
No, we've had other schools that have violated.
So we've had other violations?
Okay. And we open the questions of the week too as well.
Yeah, that's it. My second question is to the commissioners, how did the league staff come up with this this sanction? I mean, what was the process that y'all took?
Across the whole process?
Yes, sir.
Got the sanction. Well, saw the picture online of the team practicing with pads below the waist or pads in pants or in girdles, and know that day was only a helmet and shoulder pad day, and contacted the school and asked the principal to have a conversation with their football coach and athletic director to see if there was a violation, to give them a chance to discover it. And then through conversation there, was able to get to the point where we had a legal practice and we addressed it as a legal practice. Would be an open and closed season violation, which calls for a $500 fine, loss of one day of practice, and restricted to one scrimmage.
Was $500, according to what I've read, was for about the minimum 5 days?
That's correct.
Can I make one real quick?
No, sir. I'm sorry. If someone asks you a question, then you may be able to.
Okay.
Question for the league staff. In other years, how does the progression go in this same kind of area for football?
Well, can I share something with you on the screen here?
Sure.
Is that okay? This is the gist of the preseason practice plan that outlines the first 5 days of practice. This is under our league site as well. All this is listed in, you know, the practice, the schedule, the days you can wear this stuff is listed in the rules and regulations as well. But under the sport of football, you have all your pieces to it. But your preseason practice plan is there, and this is, you see, is done by this endorsed by the Trainers Association and our climate. This is a climatization period and explains why those are in place from an acclimatization and the safety standpoint. So you start off with 2 days, days one and two, helmets and shorts. And it tells you in there helmets and shorts because we're trying to get the player's body acclimatized to that heat of the helmet and wearing it in physical activity. It's not necessarily a contact with somebody else. It's the acclimatization and heat piece. And then days three and four, practice in helmets and shoulder pads permitted. And again, all we're doing is taking that first acclimatization and adding the next acclimatization piece to it for safety. So now the body gets used to the heat with the pads and the helmet. And then day five, you can add the full gear, which would be everything else that you don't have on. So we're giving them permission for what they can wear each day in a progression from a safety standpoint for the student athlete.
Yeah, and that's very similar to the previous year, what was done this year?
Yes, sir. The only difference is that we actually allowed them to start the first official team practice, or you all actually approved it, the first official team practice on September 8th in helmets and shoulder pads. That we gave them the phase 1.5 from August 17th on, the opportunity to use helmets there. But again, the requirement was for a kid to start September 8th in helmets and shoulder pads, they had to have had at least 2 days in helmets prior to that.
And y'all's experience following up with student athletes, would you say this year more teams have been in a violation of that particular, those types of rules than past years, or do you think it's about the same?
Each year we've had a couple of teams that have violations. There's no more this year than we've had in the past.
I have a question for the league as well. You said that there were other violations. Were those strictly related to girdles, or were there other?
There was one additional one that strictly related to girdles.
And then my second question is, if the rules specify for 7-on-7 a girdle, and I think I read in the documentation that's the only place a girdle is specifically mentioned.
That's it. But the intent of the rule is when you wear football pads.
I understand. I'm just asking if girdle was mentioned just for in the 7-on-7.
That's the only place it's going to be booked.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if I may add on to that fact, I'm not even quite sure why girdle itself would even be mentioned, because I think that's a moot point. Really, it's about the pads that are in the girdle. That's really what is important. There's a whole lot of different ways to put pads in. You know, some of them are sewn in. Like you said, it used to be you had a belt that went through them. Some of them used to go right into the pants. I mean, all the girdle itself really is, to me, is not really an issue. It's about the pads. And so I think that's really what we need to focus on.
I have a question, just a clarification for the head coach again. You said earlier that most of your kids, that's what they're used to wearing, the girdles. Are they wearing the girdles for compression purposes? Because if it's for compression, they can wear compression shorts. That's the difference when you talk about the girdle compression for support, which is like your old school jockstrap, versus the girdle, which is support and also padding, which is where the difference comes in. So would you say they wear the girdle for compression, or how would you, based on that compression shorts versus the girdle? And it sounds like you're saying that they wear this for the support piece. How would you compare the two, compression shorts versus the girdle compression with pads?
Honestly, and this is sad, but it's because that's all they have. I mean, that's it. That's all I got. Imposed against Greenwood High School as it relates to any legal.
consider in a subsequent motion to direct the league to provide some additional clarification on exactly what is meant by full pads and what can basically just do along the line of what pads can be worn, what equipment can be worn, what can't be worn. Because, I mean, there's definitely some ambiguity here, and you could argue by looking at what Mr. Winsky showed and, you know, what they presented, you could argue this really either way. So I think regardless of the outcome, we should look at giving some additional direction so we don't have to deal with this in the future.
So,
well, I mean, the league in return to practice guidelines, it says use of helmets is allowed at 1.5. 2.0, September 8th, shoulder pads may be added, and then you progress from there with your pads. The girdle, just like Mr. Cooper was saying, the girdle piece, we're talking about the pads inside. We're not talking about a pair of shorts. Pads are not part of shoulder pads, and the pads inside of a girdle are not part of a helmet. So that I think that's specified right there.
I agree with that too, just on the idea that it doesn't say they cannot wear the helmets. It doesn't say only helmets. It just says we'll be wearing helmets on August 17th. And it says helmets and shoulder pads. By that logic, you could wear shoulder pads on August 17th because it didn't say you couldn't wear shoulder pads on August 17th. It said you wear helmets. It seems like a list effort. You know, it just backs into positive.
I mean, if we're going, you know, if you get caught for speeding and you're going 92 and a 55, you're not going to tell the officer that pulled you over that you weren't, you know, the speed limit sign didn't specify I couldn't go 92 miles an hour.
But I think if we're realistic, I think that we are sitting here and we're looking at the rule and we can justify it when we say it this way, but I think if we're being realistic and honest with ourselves, I don't think this is being consistently played out this way across the state. And I think that there are a lot of teams wearing girdles because I think that the purpose of that piece of equipment as a mama who watches it has changed somewhat through the years. So I think that more clarification would only work for the advantage of our coaches across the state.
And if I may, and I made the mention of the past, and that is what's important, but if you go into any major sporting goods store right now, I mean, the girdles that are being sold with the pre-pads sewn into them, I mean, every kid wants to have a pair of those, and they're wearing them for fashion, they're wearing them for reasons that aren't necessarily to violate or cheat or to do a rule. So, Coach Leinert, I know you went, I know you're an honorable man. By no way do I think that you were doing anything to try to gain an advantage on anybody else. I want to make that clear. I think it was really just a simple matter of kids were wearing them just for to wear them, not to hit, not to get a competitive advantage. I don't think that was your intent whatsoever. So while the motion was to uphold, to me the definition of what it says, I mean, girdle should even be just removed outright, and it really should just be based off of, if we want to be clear, you can wear shoulder pads and a helmet, but you cannot have any pads below the waist, and that pretty much takes care of the definition there, and it makes it very clear in terms of what you can wear and what you can't wear.
If I may interject something there, that each spring, I mean, this was brought up. Coach, you mentioned not sure how it does, how it works, but your superintendent or your principal may submit a proposal to the body. So that's just to throw that out there of how that works, and then it's a body piece that gets voted for, okay, as a proposal. Any other discussion? We have a motion. We have a second. The motion is to uphold the league's decision to impose the sanction against Greenwood High School as it relates to illegal practice as defined. Ms. Booth, we're ready to vote. A yes means that you will uphold. You support the motion to uphold the league's decision.
I move.
favor, please raise your right hand.
Ten.
All those opposed?
Four.
What this means, Ms. Benjamin,